This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I wish you would write in too if I were you. Jake and Amir will tell you here exactly what to do. And if you want bad advice from two cool Jews, it's If I Were You. It's If I Were You.
The angry boy, a bit too insane, icing over a secret pain.
You know you don't belong.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
You're the first to fight on the... You're way too loud. You're a flash of light on the burial shroud. I know something's wrong.
Everyone has to face down a demon. Maybe today we can put the past away.
I would swallow my pride. I would jump on the rise and flash thereof and leave me empty inside.
I would swallow my doubt, turn it inside out, find nothing but faith and...
Do you have the time to listen to me?
Chicken be chained at the Chinese chicken.
You have a drumstick. We're out of time. That was Jacob LeGrand of the opening theme song. Sam Reich is in the house.
Yes, dude.
This is your first appearance on our podcast. Is that true?
That is.
And I can't believe we made it through 200 and some odd episodes without having you on the show.
It's insulting.
Yeah.
Someone should be insulted, and I don't know if it's you.
There was a point.
Or me.
There was a point where you canceled on us, and we had Dan on the show instead.
That's true.
So that's insulting to Dan.
Yeah.
Most of all, Dan should be insulted.
Hey, what do you think about this pun? Sam Daniel, back at it again with the something.
I'm
going
to give you a B minus.
We were talking about you and Dan.
Oh yeah.
Sam Reich.
I'm really happy to hear to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
No doubt.
Thanks for coming.
I'm sure people who are familiar with us are familiar with you. You've been in countless Jake and Amir videos. Were you our boss? For 5 years, six years, seven years, eight years?
It was unclear.
Our relationship.
In the story of Jake and Amir, I was your secretary.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Parents died in a plane crash.
Yep.
Heartbreaking.
Parents died in a plane crash.
You also directed Fired, the eight-part girlfriend series.
That's right, which was a total blast. Not to mention Miami, guys.
Yeah,
the day back even further than that. We all went to Miami together.
We partied with the Bang Bros.
That was one of our first work trips.
It was, yeah.
I think it's also the most, maybe, or top three times I've ever been hungover. Remember when we were driving in a van and I was so hungover I had to pull over?
I also remember that I've never seen anyone more drunk than Jake on shots of Patron at that casino.
You were so drunk. I passed out outside on a lawn near a Denny's.
You were screaming drunk.
Yeah, I've never been that drunk before or since.
You were literally walking by tables of people eating and stealing food off of tables.
I remember that. I don't remember that. I remember people telling me it happened.
Yeah, when you're that drunk, it's like turning up the knob in your brain that's like, just do what you want. And then like turning down the other knob that's like, maybe I shouldn't do stuff. So it's just like food cranked up, I'll eat it off of stranger's table.
Right. It's like realizing you can color outside the lines. Only your sober brain would go, that doesn't look good anymore. And your drunk brain goes, go for it.
It's actually pretty liberating.
It's like
when you're a little drunk, you usually still have like a little social, like some charm and some grace, some tact to like get away with stuff. Like if I picked up someone's fry and I ate it, and then I smiled, and I was like, "I'm sorry, I'm so hungry," and they're like, "Oh, maybe they'll think it's funny."
Yeah.
But if I stumble up, knock over someone's drink, and grab their like soft pretzel from their hand,
you know what the problem is? It's not only a rise in the animal part of your brain; it's also a decline in your motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be a drug that makes you want to act like your primitive animal brain, but also lets you just like drive and have normal conversations.
That's cocaine.
Sure. I was about to say that's Molly.
It is. It's also cocaine. It's cocaine and Molly. I think those are really primo drugs.
I have never done the cocaine.
Really?
That's true.
I guess I haven't either.
Hmm. And I guess neither have I. I just heard
that's
through sources.
So it lets you act drunk without
like my coke guy told me.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear, you know, as we're on this podcast, for all of your like impressionable young listeners, you know, anywhere between the ages of like 14 and 18 who are about to, you know, make important decisions that are going to affect the rest of their life.
Right.
You're saying that cocaine is a drug that makes you feel like the ultimate human being?
It makes you...
Without any of the negative side effects of alcohol?
Yeah. Well, no. It, you know, cocaine is not an ideal drug, but it does make you feel sharp. And I don't think you lose motor skills. Oh, you know what? I don't want to go down this road.
Yeah. And what's the bad side really of cocaine? Bad. You can die from it.
Yeah, you can overdose.
You can have
it.
Too much and then die.
It's very illegal.
Yeah,
way
it's
more
super illegal. It's illegal, expensive. You can die.
There's a social stigma attached to it, for sure. Yeah.
You shouldn't do it because...
It makes you shit yourself.
Yeah, you become addicted to it.
It takes more and more to get you to feel the feelings that you used to feel, and therefore it's very expensive.
One of the side effects is just that you want more of it even when you've had enough of it.
Right.
So you sort of don't stop doing it if there is more.
Actually, truthfully, the friends of mine who like were worst off were the ones that got really into cocaine.
Those
are the friends who were doing real bad.
So let's say officially don't do cocaine.
Yeah, don't do cocaine.
What?
You're winking a ton. I've never seen anyone.
Sorry, I'm just tweaking
so
out
rapidly.
What about Molly?
I think we shouldn't.
You guys edit this, right?
This is an advice podcast. People are seeking our guidance, our wisdom. Not
and you
necessarily
now know
about...
exactly how responsible we are.
Yeah, this is.
I know how qualified I am to give people advice.
It's usually just me and Jake in a room. Sometimes we have our friends. Finally, we have Sam Reich on the show. So thanks for coming on the show. Finally, it took us until we have our own office, our own recording studio, to come on down. You look so comfortable on that couch.
Couch is great.
Yeah, you're feeling comfy? West
Elm.
Yeah,
my feet are up. This office is really impressive. You guys are doing clearly very well.
Right.
We're swimming in debt.
Yeah.
But we did decorate the office.
We're doing worse, actually.
Really?
Yeah, we are cash poor.
We both live here.
Yeah.
Right. There's no sign of like...
Right.
A bed or a toothbrush.
Exactly.
Anything.
We have bad hygiene and we can't sleep.
So I'll scrape my teeth against the couch you're sleeping on.
Got it. But it's super comfortable. And I'm like, this makes me like proud of you guys. I mean that in the least patronizing way possible.
In the least positive way possible.
It might sound patronizing anyway.
No.
I'll take it.
It's really impressive.
Thanks, dude. Yes, dude.
You should be like introducing us on the road with that. Like Don Pardo, yes, dude.
Jake and I'm here. Yes, dude.
So these are real emails from real people, Sam. Just so you know, we're gonna give them fake names just to preserve their anonymity. Would you do us a favor and give this guy, this 16-year-old in high school, a fake name?
Yes, his name is James Spader.
What? Where'd you come up with that crazy,
off the top of my
unique, weird name?
Off the top of my big old block of a dome.
James Spader writes, "Hey dudes, I'm a 16-year-old in high school, and I've listened to nearly every single episode of the podcast. Love the show. Now, I see all this shit about some girls don't deal with guys under 6 foot. I'm 5'11". You think I can just pass off as 6 foot? Have you guys ever lied about your height or something trivial? Do you think it's dumb stuff like height that really matters when talking to girls? Thanks for the help. Hoda, love James Spader.
Fantastic question. Hand selected for me because it feels hand selected for me.
It was unintentional.
I am 5'6". My father is 4'10".
4'10"?
That is true.
Amazing.
I come from a family of tiny, tiny people.
So the fact that you're 5'6 is a minor miracle. Somebody's 8 inches taller than
his mother
father.
Is 8 feet.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's always the average.
That's right. My mother is an Amazon.
Your mother,
I am the exact average.
Your mother is Yao Ming in a wig. Just take off the wig. Yeah. What's the point?
We all see you under there, Mr. Ming.
But as my father used to say, like, if he limited himself to women shorter than him, he would have had no options. And I really resent this culture that sort of decided that tall men are more attractive and really the only attractive option.
Yeah, you see it all the time on Tinder or in like all those dating apps where it's like their bio is their minimum height requirement.
Yeah,
It's a little fudged. I mean, my father is 5'5" and hideous, by the way.
Yeah, just a total.
Well, we're not even talking about attractive level.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, height wise.
Right.
He's
just say he's 5'5". Don't like editorial.
And he's bad. Yeah. Well, all right. So he's a horrible man.
Sure.
Okay. 5'5".
Again,
he's horrible. His personality.
Face, skin, hair. It's all.
That's just
what
subpar.
About like moral?
What
are you like a bad?
Oh
person?
Yeah, he's wicked.
he's a wicked little demon wrinkle pumpkin.
You know, like a troll that has a drawbridge where it's like, oh, you have to answer 3 questions.
Yeah.
He won't even let people answer.
He doesn't even have a bridge.
Yeah, he just won't allow people.
Going for him.
He's a troll in front of a wall, so right. Nobody even has to deal with him.
So every square inch of this man is evil, bad, and ugly.
Yeah. Boils, moles.
Sure.
Hair everywhere it shouldn't be and completely bald where you want.
He has all 10 plagues on his person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Locust
even
blood.
The death of the firstborn?
That's right.
On the small of his back. Yes.
He has death of the firstborn. Firstborn supremacy is dead to him.
But he was still able to land my mother, who is a goddamn 25-cent piece.
She's a quarter, if not a dime.
And in all seriousness, your family is so fucking attractive.
Oh, wow, thank you.
I almost can't believe they come.
Beautiful.
My mother is. She is the perfect woman.
The idea that you all started from your dad's balls is beyond me. Like, how does...
My sisters are beautiful. My brother is beautiful. My mother is beautiful.
How does such a dead tree reap such sweet fruit?
A nut. He looks like a walnut with like little spider legs. That's my father.
Honestly, this burning bush yielded such a juicy crop. I don't even understand.
It's almost as if God looked down at him and went, we can't make the rest of the family ugly. It's too lopsided in terms of karma. The only thing that will balance out this man's black hole of an appearance is a bright shimmering light of a rest of a family.
Yes. That is to say, I don't think everybody cares a lot about height.
Right. Only necessarily somewhat shallow ladies care about.
Yeah, but there are plenty of superficial people that care about plenty of superficial things. Height is just one of them. Also, this guy's really tall.
I'm 5'11". I'll tell you just from personal experience. I'm 5'11". I don't necessarily lie about my height. I will say that I'm 6 feet in platform shoes often to anybody who will ask me anything, whether
often.
It's what's my order at a restaurant. I'll be like, I'm 6 feet in shoes. Be like, all right, that's fine. What
and
do you
what's
wanna
the
eat?
Soup of the day?
Yeah, lentil, and I'm 5'11", actually. I can't keep living this lie. 5'11"'s not a bad height.
Sir, did you want to cash this check?
No, I just thought that I'm 5'11".
Right.
When you were growing up, did you find that you didn't approach girls that were taller because you didn't feel like you had a shot?
When I was growing up, I was short.
Well, all right, good. But I'm also talking to our guest, Sam.
Oh, okay, of course. Yeah, when I was growing up, I was short.
I just want to give everybody a chance
when
to
did
talk.
You guys because we're all at a certain point we're all short and at a certain point all the girls are average taller than we are and I feel like that period of time is good practice for any shorter person.
Oh, like 7th through 9th grade.
Yeah, in terms of developing the courage to approach women that are taller than you.
Right.
I you know, 5'11 clearly is like not a pro. Let's establish like men are, for the most part, within a certain spectrum of height, right? What would we say that height is? Probably between between
like 80% lie in this range.
5'5" to 6'5"
Okay.
So if women are only interested in dating men 6'5" or above, they're automatically ruling out half
over
of
half.
The male population.
Oh, way over half.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Well,
that's like a lot of people to decide. A lot of people to decide aren't worth it.
Right.
And at 5'11", like if you say, oh, I'll date a guy who's 6 feet but not 5'11", even if you are superficial,
right,
you're really going to cut someone off over an inch. You're going to like fall in love with this man over Tinder chat.
Today. Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, we have so much
shoes. And
yeah, exactly.
You get out of bed and you go to brush your teeth. You're like, well, wait a second. Chasing you around the house with a measuring tape.
Get away from me. She measures me in my sleep. We're all the same height lying down.
You have three kids, and she finally measures you for the first time.
It's just like, you're less of a man.
You fucking lied to me.
What are you talking about? This is an ambush.
You're fucking 5'11".
Have you ever lied about your height?
I don't think he said he was 5'6". Yeah. I lied about my height when I said I was 5'6".
You're 5 foot I'm two, if not an inch.
I'm 5'4". In all seriousness, as a 5'2 man,
I feel like I should have to.
You are standing on the microphone.
How tall is your wife?
My wife is five and a half, if not my exact same height.
Oh, that's pretty nice. You think if she was 5'7", 5'8", she'd be any less interested in you?
You guys, you've seen couples that are taller women with shorter men, right? They do exist.
Yeah. These
my parents. Exist. My
yeah,
dad
parents,
is
right.
A 5 foot five.
I know.
My mom,
you already quite said.
Okay. Right.
You said.
Sure.
And my mother is a 5 foot eight runway
okay.
model.
All right.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
That's, all right. I won't say any more.
Great. Perfect. Right. What were you saying, Sam?
He's made up of the things that a cat regurgitates.
Yeah. He's fur balls. Yeah.
He's hair.
My dad is incarnate. The embodiment of feline AIDS.
Feline AIDS personified.
My mother is an angel.
My mother is a hot shovel.
My mother
is... Excuse me?
What?
A hot what?
I was just saying something tall and sturdy like a shovel.
No, she's not a shovel.
I know she's not a shovel,
yeah,
man.
She's not a shovel. She's a human being. She's one of the best human fucking beings in the world.
Did you just call my
fucking mother a shovel. How about I use a shovel to decapitate your fucking head off?
Dude, I was fucking
coming at my mother with that vile, that vitriol, that hate.
You spent 5 minutes ridiculing your dad, who, by the way, is a really nice, attractive man.
He's
in his own
right.
We're talking about a guy's mother. You don't call a man's mother a shovel.
No.
This is. So I'm
you being imagine
slandered.
My mom is a rake.
She's not a shovel. You're saying?
Well, so here, you know, here's the theory, though. I think the theory is there are really superficial women out there, and if anyone won't give you a chance because of your height, they're probably not the kind of person you want to be dating in the first place. It's not, I don't even think it's that there's like this layer of superficiality, which you have to like get through in order to find someone's real self. They are that person or they aren't that person.
Right.
The person what you want to be with isn't going to judge you for being five,
you're saying like
six,
there won't
or
even
five,
be
eight,
any
five.
Pretense about like, you know, overcoming your like, proving your winning personality.
Yeah, you're going to lie about an inch of your height in order to try to win over women. Like, you don't want those
like a
women.
Trojan horse.
Right.
And get into a good relationship from the inside.
Like, yeah, you're the Trojan horse.
You might as well be completely honest and then find someone that likes that.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, this guy's probably 5'9".
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And which honestly makes people who are a legit 5'11", which I think is the tallest height you can be under 6 feet, like me.
Sure.
It makes us lesser than because you're clumping us in with people who are 5'10", 5'9". Wow. Almost a borderline 5'8", though I don't want to embellish.
Amir, I'm sorry to say this. You're being a real shovel right now.
Finally.
Someone had the Duke guts to back. Say it. All right. So in conclusion, be yourself. Be honest. Don't lie about your height. It's just 1 inch.
I mean, that's, you know, that's what I would say. What would you guys say?
No, I would agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, first of all, this guy's not short. And second of all, some people will care about your height and some people won't, and go for the ones that don't.
The end. We have another question from another guy. We need another name. Let's hear it, Sam.
James.
Okay. I see where you're going with this.
Vanderbeek.
I love that one.
I don't want to wait. I like to be over.
Dawson writes, I'm in a pickle. So my wife has this job where she works from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., which is perfect. I work from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., which means I get 3 whole sweet hours of playing video games after work. The problem is she hates working so late and wants to be home with me when I'm off. She constantly asks me if I'm okay with her switching her work schedule where she gets off at 3 p.m. as well. I tell her to do what she thinks is best, but secretly I want her to work until 6 because whenever she's home, it's impossible to ever get time with my Xbox One. She'll get all mad and start pouting if I play in front of her and thinks I'm neglecting her as a husband, so I don't play when she's home anymore. Plus, it's really embarrassing when all my single friends start making fun of me or wherever I have to get off. All my single friends start making fun of me whenever I have to get off playing video games because my wife is making me. I really do love my wife, and I don't regret getting married at all. With that said,
no one said that.
How do I manipulate her? With that said, how do I manipulate her into changing her work schedule so I can pwn some noobs in Call of Duty? Please help. Thanks, love, James Vanderbeek.
Oh boy, oh boy. Do I love a question that ends with how do I manipulate her?
Wow.
Sam, you have a wife. Do you game?
My relationship with video games is kind of the same as books, where I'll get really into a video game for a period of time and play it and play it and play it kind of obsessively. I have a little bit of a compulsive personality that way.
Right.
Habitually, no. The last game that I got really into was Red Dead Redemption, and I played it like an animal.
Which is what? What is that? Like an animal? What's a lot?
Like, like maybe two, three hours a night.
Oh, that's not that much. Yeah. I bet there's a lot of gamers that just like laughed out loud. 2-3 hours a night, that's nothing.
Yeah. God, wow. That's losers.
But did your lady ever resent you for that?
No. We have a pretty symbiotic video gaming relationship. She doesn't love to take the wheel, but she likes to watch me play.
Oh, wow.
Especially beautiful games, right? Like, there is a type of game, and maybe this is my advice.
Whoa.
I'm realizing.
Okay.
Guys, I'm onto something.
Go follow it.
Where
follow the thread.
You play a certain type of game that your wife is into enough either to watch or play alongside you.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your cake and eat it too.
This is like a little brother thing where it's like, I don't want to play. I just want to watch my big brother beat the game.
I suppose that's right. Although I think there's a new category of video game, which is the video game that's like so beautiful, it's actually enjoyable to watch. Right. And I think like Red Dead is totally that way. Grand Theft Auto is kind of that way. The BioShock series is that way. There's also like games like Braid and Journey, which are just works of art. Now I sound like a gamer.
I'm like, I wish I could get into game. I want to play Braid. Would I like it?
Braid is one of the most beautiful masterpieces of video game art ever.
Oh, all right.
And how do you play it? Is it on your phone while you're taking a shit?
No, it might be on your phone. When I played it, it was an Xbox Arcade download.
Oh, so it's
and
a real
like
video
all
game.
All sorts of ways to play it.
Got it.
I remember playing Monument Valley.
Oh, does gorgeous!
That,
count?
That was beautiful.
Gorgeous game.
But that game was so hot.
I played
hot.
Through that with Elaine.
Oh, really?
We took turns, like each other play the levels.
Totally. That was like a really fun group game of like, you know, three people around an iPad for sure.
Yeah.
To me, this is like 3 to 6, those are the, like, that's the 3 hours that this guy cherishes and the 3 hours that this guy's wife feels like she really wants to hang out. But, like, 6 and after, that's a long time to hang out too.
Yeah, it seems like it 3 to 6 is some good alone time pre-wife time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't say, no, I want you out of the house working. But you can say, like, hey, I'd love you to be around the house, but, like, just so you know, I really like playing video games, and I'm going to do that when I get home from work.
Right.
And we can sort of float around in the same space.
Video games are a part of the person you married.
Yeah.
And if you love that person, you will let me have my video game time.
I think this is more of a conversation, not like of manipulating her to not be in the house, but of convincing her to be okay with your gaming. And yeah. Like, it sounds like she just needs her own hobby that she's going to be into from 3 to 6.
There is this kind of myth of the that in relationships, if you're in a relationship with someone and you're living with them especially, that you need to be engaged all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a really terrible policy.
It's unsustainable. Yeah. And I've been there and it's failed.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there would be times when I would be like at work and I would text someone that I was living with and I would say, hey, I'm going to like grab a drink with some of the guys. And she would say, but we were going to watch TV.
Right.
And I would be like, but that's not a plan. That was just what we were going to do if we were both home.
Yeah.
Like to like,
yeah,
being to make plans to do nothing and to like be on the same couch together starting as soon as both people are home from work.
Yeah.
Is, I think, like the beginning of the end.
Being in a long-term relationship is like a lot. Being in like a live-in relationship is a lot of casual hanging out.
And oh, like you guys can both be at home but ignoring each other.
Yeah, or maybe like you're watching TV and she's on the couch on her phone with her like feet under your butt. And that's going to be cool.
And then I grab the phone and you say, what's here that's not here? And I'll point to my heart and be like, why aren't you paying attention to me? Chest. Point to my dick.
And then to my Xbox controller.
She's looking at a picture of your dick.
All right, that's fine. But Jesus.
That was close.
Focus on me. Yeah, it's true. You don't want to be in a like when you're not living with someone, the time that you're together has to be precious because you're not together all the time. Then you move in. Yeah. And perhaps the mistake is like, let's give it just as much effort and intensity, but you can't sustain that because you're actually living with
the
person.
You know what? Have you guys ever been to like an all-you-can-eat buffet, like a Vegas buffet?
Oh, yeah.
Like the amateurs will go and they'll get like 3 giant plates of food and they'll bring it back and they'll make their way through like a plate and a quarter. Mm-hmm. And then be like, I'm fucked.
Yeah,
like, all of these
full.
Little tarts are going to go to waste.
I have to throw them away now.
I have to throw away the tarts.
Yeah.
And like, you've got to learn to manage.
Pace
your
yourself.
Portion.
The pros go straight portions. For the waffles. And that's it. Cover them in chocolate chips and butter. You
that
don't need. Don't go for the dumplings.
Don't eat the bread.
For the pasta.
Yeah.
Bread's a waste.
They're going to give you unlimited breadsticks.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't get the metaphor.
Legs. I overdo it on the waffle.
It's like you're at the metaphor is you're at an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you still have to manage 3 healthy meals a day.
Yeah,
yeah, you've got all wife time.
That's right.
That's so, a guarantee.
All-you-can-eat wife.
So his specific question is, how do I manipulate her into not changing her work schedule so I can pwn some noobs? So he doesn't want to be honest with her. He wants to. Inception
he wants
the idea.
Of this situation.
He wants to put the idea into her brain where she wants to stay at work till 6.
Right.
Right.
So the lie that you would tell is that your schedule's changed, so you're also at work till 6.
Yeah, no need to come
but
home.
But then, like, I
then
still
she comes
say,
home and sees you gaming and you act like you just got caught cheating. Oh, it's not what it looks like.
But you caught me on the sofa.
It wasn't me.
You even got me on camera.
Playing Zelda. Wasn't me.
It wasn't me, dude. I still think the honesty is the best policy here.
Saying, listen, I love you. I want to hang out with you, but 3 to 6
I
is
mean,
me
manipulating
time.
Your SO is never okay.
Very G.
But like, how would you Game of Thrones? How else would you House of Cards or Game of Thrones this situation?
I wish I'd seen those shows. What does that mean to do that?
Frank Underwood is a cutthroat politician who will stop at nothing to get what he wants. And what he wants is to occupy the highest office in the United States.
Now, honey, I understand you don't want to work. And I understand you want us to be together.
Okay.
But I'm going to need you to stay at work. Thank you so much.
Oh, so he's just a smooth talker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like... Don't be straight up, right?
Yeah, that's easy. It's easy to say, and it's hard to do.
Right.
But overall, it'll feel good in the long run.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're living in a relationship where you're resenting your significant other for coming home early. She's happy. You're upset. It starts to eat away at you long term. Things start drifting apart, and it's all because you didn't have this conversation where you sat her down and said 3 to 6 is precious me time.
Come on, man. Don't be a shovel.
Don't be a shovel. Be a hoe.
Hey.
What?
Tread lightly. I'm not even... It ties back to my mother.
What?
It's a callback. All right. It is very intrinsically related to my mother.
All right, man. I'm sorry. Christ.
It's all right.
So protective.
It's all right.
I know it's all
right. Your dad's a piece of shit, right?
My dad is a fucking nobody. I don't have a father anymore.
And my mom is an everybody. All right, let's take a break. We'll thank a few sponsors.
That's supposed to mean.
And we'll be right back with more questions and answers with Sam. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
Bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, Bark
yeah,
Box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, That's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back with Sam.
Hey-o.
Sam the man.
Yes, dude.
Why did you cancel Jake and Amir? We fought tooth and nail to still be there, and Sam stiff-armed us.
Positive that's not how it
he
went
said,
down.
He said, no, no, no.
I am almost positive.
Seething with jealousy, he said I couldn't stand
this
it
is a
anymore.
Trap. Lock the door.
It's already locked.
We want our jobs back.
Do people think I canceled Jake and Amir?
They do
Jesus
now.
Christ.
I say that because it's the opposite. You begged us to stay.
You guys got fed up.
Yeah, we said no more. I don't even know if either of this stuff is true. What are you working on now?
It's all a mix of true. It's like a breakup.
You're still at College Humor, though. Or should I say Big Breakfast?
I am. You can say College Humor.
Okay.
I'm the last person at the party, pretty much.
But now there's new people at the party.
Yes, that's right.
The party turned
over. It's a whole other party.
Anybody still there that our fans would know about back from me and Jake's day? I know Adam is still there. Emily's still there.
Well, these are the people that you're talking about are no longer full-time employees of the company. They've gone on to work on other projects for the company.
I would love to do that. I would come back to College Humor in a heartbeat.
We did it. Sorry. Really? We did Jake and Amir
really?
Show.
I know.
That Sam Reich ultimately passed on.
I wanted it.
Or True TV passed on.
I don't even oh get my mixed God. Up. Are you going to like start rumors that I canceled Jake and Amir? I
Sam
somehow
Reich had
didn't
a True
pick
TV.
Up the True TV show. That was somehow me.
Insane.
No, Sam's been a champion of us from the very beginning, actually.
Yeah.
And to that I say toda.
I'm a big fan of you guys.
And you, not only you're part of it, you're part of the finale as well. You're
yeah,
in our first episode
right.
or last episode.
Which felt like a real, because I had like way back in the day established this kind of sort of character of Amir's Amir.
Yeah.
That was kind of how we thought about it, right?
Yeah. Like you, I had someone that looked up to me as much as I looked up to Jake.
Right.
Only I hated you for some reason. You were giving me all the attention I wanted.
Yeah.
And it meant nothing.
Right.
But then in the
we were good.
Clearly you could have like turned your chair 180 degrees and found your best friend, but you weren't interested.
Yeah. If anyone just lifted Jake up and plopped you there, it seemed like it would solve all
the
problems.
It was all about the desk.
But then I, somewhere along the line, presumably, I got a promotion, which is kind of true in terms of my employment at College Humor. But then that also affected like my relationship with you guys in the storyline.
Yeah.
Like I became your boss. In the storyline.
Yeah. By the end, you were in charge of us.
Yeah.
Which is kind of true for reality.
That is.
Head of Big Breakfast.
Kind of true.
What are you working on now that you're most excited about?
Well, we got a second season of Adam Ruins Everything.
Hell yeah.
It works. And we just launched a YouTube Red, meaning YouTube $4 series.
Oh, I thought that was a book.
That YouTube Red was a book?
Yeah, like I read YouTube.
Oh.
No.
No.
Okay. All right. So what did I order off Amazon? Because it was a book of videos.
I think
videos.
You ordered Slim Jim.
I did. Okay, you know what it was? Yeah.
Macho Man Randy Savage's book.
Yes.
No, it's not Slim Jim. What's the brand?
Oh, the turkey jerky that we bought?
The turkey jerky?
The tubes of turkey.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
So good.
We're going to, we can't,
oh, you can't
we can't
say.
Endorse it until you they can't. Start paying us. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, you got to write them an email. I'll come back on the show, talk about how much I legit like that
those turkey tubes.
I didn't realize it was turkey. That's great news.
Yeah.
But we have this YouTube Red series called Bad Internet, which is kind of a Black Mirror parody, which I'm very proud of.
I watched it.
Yeah, you liked it.
Yeah, it's great.
you liked it.
Loser. But like, there's familiar faces in there. Castles
yeah.
is in it.
Yeah. Hopefully we get a second season and you guys can do it. That would be my dream.
That would
oh,
be dope.
Shit.
I would love to write one of those episodes.
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
What happened to Pat? Remember like we were friends with this guy, Pat?
Yeah,
Pat Castles.
Trask killed him. Mike
What's
Trapp
that?
Killed him. What's up?
Who? What happened to Pat?
Mike Trapp.
He was murdered.
Yeah.
Jesus.
What happened to Trapp?
Oh, he's around.
Oh. So you're talking so casually about him, so nothing ever happened from that.
What do you mean?
Mike Trapp killed Pat Castles. And you're talking about it like he tripped him or something. Like
right,
nothing
like
happened. There was no.
No,
there
he didn't trip him. He killed him.
Right. But there's no legal obligation, recourse to the killings. Of Pat Castles, the
I don't understand.
All right, never mind.
Legal.
That's fine.
Cool.
What else are you excited about?
Pat went to go write for Sam B, which hugely exciting.
It's true.
It's a great show.
All of our friends are writing for television.
And this we're whole first shit. Generation of College Humor talent. I mean, we're all in this like new chapter of our lives, right? Like your guys' chapter is Lonely and Horny, which is so good and so. I mean, you guys advertise on your podcast. I'm at now advertising it on your podcast. It's so funny and well made, and this like incredibly impressive podcast network. You're like running your own
business
network business now.
Take that, True TV.
And Dan Gerwich.
Sorry,
I have a lot of business at that network,
of course.
And a really great relationship with those executives.
And so do we.
And so do we.
And Jake, Gerwich. Went,
Jake will order a steak dinner, eat a first bite, and be like, damn, this is good. Take that, True TV.
Every time I'm proud of myself. But Dan Gerwich was also murdered by Mike Trapp.
That's right. He was murdered by Kevin Corrigan. No.
Corrigan's doing the best of everybody.
He's at a climbing magazine.
Awesome. What's that?
He's at a writing for a climbing magazine in Colorado.
Yeah.
He's living his hashtag best life.
He's himself more than any of the rest of us have found himself. In fact, I guarantee you that that's true.
He's more at peace, definitely, than anybody I know.
The rest of us are still at war.
Streeter, Sarah, Will Steven, SNL.
Yep.
Back to back to back.
David Young, The Tonight Show.
That's right. Dan, you were mentioning John Oliver.
Yep.
Owen
Parsons, The Daily Show.
Yeah. Jake and Amir, dick in their hands, talking to a fucking has. Sorry, no offense, dude, but you're a has been. You know what? Fuck that. You never was. Who else?
Take that, True TV.
Jeff Rubin.
Oh, Jeff Rubin's at YouTube now. He's doing great.
Yeah. And so actually, the people left at the party are myself and Ricky.
Oh,
right,
Richard Van Veen,
RVV,
our first podcast guest.
That's right. Ricky is in New York, and I sort of man the West Coast.
God, what I wouldn't give to just fucking crawl back to College Humor. I'll make anything, dude, really? Anything without. God,
you gotta just like sorry, at least do this stuff off mic. Like I know you wanted to. I remember you said,
"I would suck your dick, Sam." Sorry, I don't know if this is picking up. No, but I would just suck your dick, dude.
It's not picking
for
up
a
right
job,
now.
Even as an unpaid intern. To be back in the game with you would be an honor.
So I think just I might pick up that here. Last little.
I don't know that we can take unpaid interns right now.
Oh, I'm in college.
So you're
going
to have to suck my dick as a
I'm in college.
Intern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it.
College credit is fine?
Yeah.
Okay, because I just enrolled
for
at CSUN.
For sucking my dick.
Technically folks listening at home, Amir is kneeling. This is insane. He's blowing Sam.
I don't know what to say. I don't know how to rebound.
This is crazy.
Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to mention? Your Snapchat?
Oh, God. Guys, if you would follow me on Snapchat, I really just getting into the Snapchat game.
Yeah.
And I like my username is Sam Neverland.
Why did you do that?
Because
we said the exact two different things or complete opposite.
I was talking about what he was doing on Snapchat. You've got a problem with everybody's name on
Snapchat.
What
are you doing? Why that?
Because Snapchat is the place where I can always feel like a kid is why. I just made that up. How'd that sound?
That's pretty good, actually. I might change my name to Amir Bloom Neverland. I'm going to change my name to Amir Bloom Toys R Us Kid.
But follow me. When is this? When does this post?
Let's say Monday, June 13th.
Okay.
Just to be clear, we're recording this February 3rd, 2013.
We haven't even shot the True TV pilot yet.
Three Merry Christmases between now
That's
and
right.
Then.
Yeah, yeah. Why? You want to drop something really exciting on this day?
Yeah, maybe I'll hunt you guys down on this day and take some exclusive content with you.
Oh, don't promise that. What if you can't do that in a week? What about a picture of your butthole with a little lion emoji in it?
I mean, it all depends on you guys. I'll hunt you down wherever you are.
That was
not even for Snapchat.
That was so mean to say, and you said it so casually.
You said our last day at College Humor too.
No, I'll hunt you down wherever you are. You'll do this for me. You better. It'll be fine.
It's really threatening that you're saying it in such a fun, casual, lighthearted way.
You're sitting so provocatively.
What does it mean to say you better?
Splayed out on the couch.
Why do you keep saying you better?
You better. You are
like you'll do this for me. Because you better.
So just the words that you're saying seem really threatening.
So friendly and open. Like a cuddly teddy bear.
All right. Do you want to answer one last question before we have to get the F out?
Let's do it.
I'll give you two options. Do you want to talk about butts, or do you want to talk about sexually transmitted diseases?
Ooh, butts.
Who don't?
What you gonna do with all that ass inside your shirt? I'm gonna make your shirt. Make your shirt look like an ass. sorry, guys.
Off the top of your head?
During break, I tried that cocaine thing Jake was talking about.
And he's right. That is my best self.
That thing Jake endorsed.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, NatureBox, and Yak.
We didn't have any, so I started snuffing this 45 spray adhesive. General purpose, made by 3M.
That's the same.
I'm feeling sticky like Ricky. All right, do you have a name for this last dude?
I do. James.
Okay.
Brown.
James. Ooh. Brown. I like that. Make me hate it.
Brownie.
I hate it. James Brownie writes, "Hey guys, big fan. Hope this email finds you well. I found myself in a sticky, or should I say stinky situation."
Nice.
Actually, Sam, you have a really good voice. Do you want to read this?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a waste to have you on and not have you do some VO work. Okay, just grab the bait because you're just grabbing the monitor. You're just grabbing the monitor part of my laptop, which seemed kind of precarious.
What kind of a voice do you want this read in?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Just something kind of announcery.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Hey, guys, big fan.
Okay, so that's the guy from Sex and the City.
Hope this email finds you well. I found myself in a sticky, or should I say stinky situation. There's a girl I've been having a sexual relationship with, and recently, when I was hitting it from the back, I smelled something disgusting. To my dismay, I deduced that it was her butthole that was emitting that foul stench.
Change voices. Anyways, my issue is I don't know how to move forward. What would you do if you were me? I'm contemplating if I should stop having sex with her. Just to add some additional info, that recent incident made me aware that her butt has always stunk. But because it was so faint before, I thought my mind was playing tricks on me. But now that I know what it is, she is disgusting to me. And I need help moving forward and deciding what to do. Hope you guys can offer some help. Nuff love from Toronto. Thank you.
James Brown. Hell Brown. Yeah. Sam, can you just read questions for the rest of time? Like, whenever we have a question, we'll just email it to you.
That'd be
you'll
great.
Record
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, the laptop handoff is complete. What do we say to James Brownie?
His girlfriend's butthole smells? What do you think that could be? Why would a butthole smell?
That he deduced where the smell was coming from.
At first it was faint.
I smelt this distinct ass-like smell.
I was face to face with her ass. Yeah.
Butts seem to stink always. That's where the poop and the gas and the farts come out.
If you're gonna nitpick an ass, like, then you're not allowed to have doggy style sex, I don't think.
Every time I read one of these questions, the first thing my mind does is turns on the person who asked the question.
Most of the time,
that's the first thing I do. I'm like, what's the other side of this story?
Yeah. And the other side is this girl has a slightly stinky butthole.
Because
which
if
is
this
pretty
is,
normal.
If I'm not immediately taking the other side, then this might be a hygiene issue, right?
Do you think that she's not wiping properly?
It's possible.
Even if you're wiping properly, your butthole would stink. I mean, wiping is just smearing shit with a dry paper towel sphincter.
First of all, not everybody has the types of shits that you have.
Okay.
Some ladies don't have hairy ass cracks, so when they wipe, it actually is pretty effective, and the shit is gone.
Yeah, the shit is gone, but you're still smearing. At the end of the day, it's smearing shit. Sorry, I'm pro bidet, and if that makes me European,
it's wiping. That's why they call it wiping. Did you smear in there?
Yeah, well, wiping, smearing, it's all the same.
One week in New Zealand, and you come back a bidet man.
I actually only shit in lakes now. So we were at Lake Takepo, and I would diarrhea, and You would see me.
You
dip.
Also diarrheaed in the car.
That's
you
right.
Diarrheaed on the plane.
And I asked to be taken to the nearest lake, which wasn't Takepo anymore. I was.
So you grounded the plane.
That's right. And I said, take me to your nearest lake. They said, sorry, sir, we're 6.5 hours from any body of water. That's not the Pacific Ocean. I said, well.
Also, you forgot your passport, clearly.
I used it to wipe my own ass.
Smearing my own ass, I should say.
Well, what?
So, fine. If we're going to say that that one time, and which is totally possible, that one time her butt smelled, that's fair. And maybe the other times when he's saying it was faint, that means
you know what,
it
Jake,
didn't
that's
smell.
A really good point. We need a wider, bigger grouping of data mm-hmm. in order to be able to determine if this problem even needs a solution.
Right. Or if he has to have sex with multiple people. So he can decide if maybe doggy style is just something that his nostrils can't handle.
Well, you don't know if he has or hasn't had sex with many people.
That's
doggy
true.
Style. You're assuming
That's
he
fair.
Hasn't.
I'm assuming that this is the one person that he's ever fucked doggy style. And this right. is the first time he's ever smelled someone else's butt.
But at the very least, there should be one other time and then a third tie-breaking time mm-hmm. to see whether or not this is really an issue.
Yeah,
and
I volunteer as tribute.
What does that mean?
It's from Hunger Games.
What would your role be as tribute?
I think I let him fuck me from behind.
Okay, so you think that's what tribute is.
Well, tribute is like when you offer to go in someone's stead.
You
like
be...
Katniss Everdeen right. decided that she was going to go in place of Primrose.
Got it.
Everdeen.
So you're going to go in place of her. Yeah. How does that help him figure out if her?
Because then he'll be able to see if like buttholes in general are a little too stinky for him. Right. Like if he's got sensitive nostrils.
Like if yours.
I actually
too.
Kind of take it. I don't really want to do it. I don't want to go as tribute anymore.
This is also a deleted scene from the movie.
Because can we all actually, agree you know, that like sex smells aren't always great?
Yeah,
definitely. I think there's something to being like in the moment where like yeah. anything is hot.
Yeah, like, this is like a Streeter stand-up bit.
It is.
Oh yeah, sex is magic.
Sex is
yeah,
magic. Yeah,
where everything yeah. is stinky and gross while it's happening.
And it's awesome.
Like, spit in my mouth. I want to lick your sweat off yeah. of your ass crack. And yeah. then as soon as you come, you're like, oh
God,
this is get off me. Oh, yeah. I just ruined Streeter stand-up.
You're welcome.
It was a great bit. Love Streeter. So do you think it's a little bit of that?
Well, I wonder if it's that. I mean, I actually wonder if what he thinks is like a butthole smell is actually just like the smell of sex.
Right.
And he's turned off by that smell.
That would be sad to be turned off by the smell of sex.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe there are some people that are turned off by the idea of Amir's not a butthole person. So right. does that mean that you like doggy style
what does
less
that mean,
than somebody
Amir?
Who...
when he says I'm not a butthole person, it came out of a conversation that was like, Jake's like, yeah, I like to lick down there. And I'm like, that's a little too much for me. That feels a little gross for me.
Oh, you like to lick ass.
I like to do everything that I am allowed to do to my ass.
Anything, sure. anything a bunny
I'll
could do to a
hill.
I'll
push the limits. Like, if she, like,
Wait. Anything that you're allowed to do on an ass.
Yeah.
So you'll, like, fill up those little change things with, like, the proper, like, the rolling papers with the proper amount of... change like
I guess like if I was I probably that's not the first thing I would want to do if I was allowed to do
sure.
it
sure
I've never but I've also never gotten that far so who knows
you're talking yeah. about
that's like eighth base
yeah the only like the most thing that I've been allowed is a dick in the butt
got it.
And a beyond D and the that B. there's been really
a D in the B say a D in the B we can't talk about like we can't be this is this right. Episode is not explicit
yeah. Sorry, so a D and the B.
Okay.
I apologize. But
right.
And that's to say a cock.
So you like a D.
Sure.
You like a D and the P, you like a D and the B.
Yeah. I like a D anywhere in the E.
Were you talking about putting coins in the colon? Or are you talking about putting coins in the paper but next to an ass?
You're talking about a tiny little dildo.
I'm talking about laid on top of the ass.
Oh, I see.
There's a roll for quarters.
Got it.
And you're just... She's being very patient.
Oh, and you're just stacking
and you're
money.
You're just stacking
coins.
Oh, I would be into that.
You're organizing
as long as I didn't
change.
Have to put the paper into anyone's butt, because I would feel like a little nervous about paper cuts. And
sure.
Right.
I'm also... I'm not an ass... liquor person like you.
Right. you're a little too logical. Sex isn't that magic. You can't disconnect your brain that much.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's prudishness. I never thought about it that way. But like, sex is like really, certain things are really messy and dirty and exciting in sex. And then you get to like licking a butthole and I'm like, why on earth would I want to do that?
You haven't been that lost in it.
I guess that's true. It just like, it seems to fall into a totally different category for me.
Beyond sex.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like dirty stuff that I still find exciting, but that in particular, I can't.
Conversely, that's kind of what I want to do the most.
Is that true?
Probably.
Wow. That's like the ultimate, that's the
that's how Jake kisses goodbye.
You remember when I, and sometimes hello, when I met Amir's mother for the first time.
let's stop this story right now.
Uh-huh. I tossed your mom's salad, bro. You're gonna call my mother a shovel again.
you're talking about a dude's mom, Jake.
You don't go there.
You don't do that.
Just a, it was like a European style, but on the cheeks.
It's left, right, left.
Yeah, that's right. Like Parisian style. Parisian, yeah. That's what Jake thinks French kissing is. So let's answer this guy's specific question, which is, she is disgusting to me and I need help moving forward and deciding what to do.
So it sounds to me like this guy is being a little bit of a prude.
Yeah.
And like, he needs a wider data set. Like, he needs to do this again and maybe even a third time before he makes a call.
Yeah.
He really likes this girl and there is a problem there. It's something that he should try to broach. Because if she never gets the feedback, imagine being that girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, these guys, they, like, sleep with you once and then never again and you don't know why. Like...
Yeah.
You know, someone.
Very hard subject to broach. I don't know how to do it. But I do agree that this is. He's treating this as like a, oh, her butthole smells now and forever, instead of just a, it happened this one time. So I think if he can let it go, keep on having sex, see if it's a persisting issue. Yeah. And if it is, then we'll talk again.
But also, I mean, he need, like, sex is a messy business and the, like, smells are a natural part of it. And I think he needs to, like, stop looking. He shouldn't be disgusted by her. Like, that he shouldn't blame her, probably.
Right.
I'm going to guess that this smell is a natural.
You know, he could imagine getting railed from behind with a dildo by her, and he could say, like, oh, I wonder if my ass is clean enough for that.
Yeah.
So, like, hold, you know.
Walk a mile in my
ass. Dildo. Ass. All right. Cool. Hopefully we helped the three Jameses.
I think we did.
Sam, thank you again for coming all the way to our new studio, for being on our podcast for the first time in several hundred episodes. We got to have you back before episode 440. It's got to be at a more rapid clip than this. We've been doing this podcast for 3 years, for Christ's sake.
I'd love it. Guys, thank you so much for having me. I'll come back anytime. In fact, in order to make up for lost time, I think I should be on the next four.
Let's do another one right now.
Hey, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet. We're back with Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Sam Neverland, folks.
I love
Sam
that.
Neverland.
Snapchat, Sam Neverland.
Hell yeah. Sam, I wanted to mention that Jake and I are going to Dublin and London for live shows.
God, you're such international men of mystery.
You lived in London. You get the gist. You know,
I lived in Oxford, so I get the slightly less exciting, more collegiate gist.
That's right. So if you live in London or Oxford or Dublin, I think the tickets will all be available by the time this episode comes out. You can click on the links at If I Were You Show at ifiwereyoushow.com. London shows are over, or London shows almost sold out, so get on that.
Should we talk about the LA show that we have too?
Oh yeah, we have a show in Los Angeles too on June what?
June 27th.
We'll put that link. All the information will be at ifireshow.com. London, Dublin, Los Angeles, all the big cities in the world. Sam, you want to come to that show?
June 27th? The LA show. I would love to come.
Oh really? Shit. All right.
Why? Tickets?
No, just that. All right. We'll talk about it off camera. I didn't think you'd say yes. Is all. But that's okay. Fuck. Sorry. Can we record that? Will you say no? Sam, do you want to come to the show in LA?
No.
Oh, really? Fuck. Would have been great to have you there. Oh, well. Thank you so much for listening.
What did you gain?
Just wanted on the record that Sam did not I repeat, did not want to go to the show. That's why he's not there. Thank you, Sam, for listening. Thank you, Jacob Legrand, for writing the opening theme song. This closing one is written by, his name is spelled K-E-E-S, but he says it's pronounced Case. So thanks, Case, for writing the closing theme song. We'll be back next Monday. Final words? That was perfect.
Shovel.
I love that.
Easy.
Later, everybody.
1, 2, 3, 4. His name is Jake, and he's a motherfucking snake, but he's got some good advice that you shouldn't take. Rufus goes to me, the dude drink like 60 beers, but he's still got great advice for you to hear. Yeah, you got problems, and they'll help you solve them, and they'll tell you what they would do. If you're stuck in a rut, you want a fucker in the butt to help you with what you're going through. Just listen to the power in you. Yes, dude.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.